got a full set of notes, 5 pages of notes that we'll send out to you, and I'm going to turn them into about 5 minutes, which was probably about 40 minutes, to set up what we're about to do here and model for you. We've been asking for you to pray for a revelation of the church, the glorious church, the body of Christ. It's an amazing, glorious organism on planet Earth. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 16, 18 through 19. And I tell you, you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we've made the point last week, that the only hell-prevailing, gates of hell-prevailing organism on the planet is the church. The church is the one with the anointing and the grace. The church is the one with the keys of the kingdom to release the realities of heaven and let them break through, to bring them to break forth into earth, to bind and to loose. The word here for church is ecclesia, as you know, and it's talking about a people. This is not a passage, as I've heard from many, sometimes they'll read and it's kind of like, now I'm going to bind and I'm going to loose things in my life. I think that's probably appropriate, but it's not really the context. The context is that we are going to bind and we are going to loose. We are going to prevail against the gates of hell and press in heaven on earth. That's what we're going to do. Actually, we are part of the process of getting Jesus back to the planet and bringing the fullness of the kingdom. It's glorious who we are. And there is much attack against that. In fact, this activity of agreement together is typified 2 chapters later in Matthew 18, 18. It's the very same verse. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And it's talking about church discipline and dealing with a brother who had sinned. And then to say it again, 18 is that, the binding and loosing. 18:19 is, again, like, let me say it a different way. Where two of you agree on anything on earth, you're going to have that thing. The dynamic interaction, powerful interaction of the church of the living God is almost indescribable. It's literally Jesus in his body, and then us together with Jesus in us and Jesus in you, together we agree on the power and the glory of God and the will of God, and we pray and we speak and we minister and we release his glory. Jesus is building a church. He's not building a bunch of individuals that have just been saved that live monastic Christian lives and individualism. He's building a body. He's building a holy nation. He's building the people together to dwell in and to manifest himself through. And listen, the strategy for touching the earth, for winning the lost, for changing the nations, for ending this age, the strategy is you and me together interacting in Christ. Our interaction is a fiery interaction. When we speak to one another by faith and we agree together one another by faith, we're literally the body of Jesus, which we see in the Gospels in seed form. Now it's a fuller manifestation since Pentecost because Christ is in us and he's spreading through the nations. That's why it's so violent when we have slander and we have critical spirits and we gossip and we sin against one another. In the fleshly sense and sensual sense, it's so violent, not because it's bad to human beings, but because it's touching the glorious testimony of Jesus Christ's body being on planet Earth and what that's supposed to look like and what that's supposed to manifest. So we wanted to, and what I was going to do, and we're going about to model for you, I wanted to lay out for you the fourfold mission of the church. It's very simple. It's this. The church together, is called to glorify the name of the Lord. We do that together. We worship together. We sing together. We declare his greatness. Number two, we one another. We do a lot of one anothering. There are 59 one anothers at least. Love one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, one another, one another, one another. And it's just striking against the individualism that sometimes we're seduced into the privacy where we don't have deep confessional friends and we're not able to speak into each other's lives. I tell you, that's not normal Christianity. Number three, we destroy the works of the enemy together. Together, we're the destroyers of the gates of hell. And number four, we're seeking and saving the lost. Again, together. It's not me just on mission trying to evangelize. It's us together. Us together that gets it done. And praise God for every sincere believer that's gone out and has, you know, written the tracts and come up with the strategies. I love all the hearts of it. It's awesome. But the reason that sometimes that will not ring clear and have impact is because we can get into the system and lose the manifestation of the organic body of Christ. Jesus sent them out two by two. Together, we reach the lost. Together, we, the community of God, agreeing, we break darkness off of people's lives. We drive the enemy away from those that are oppressed because we've got power together. I did this in a cute, almost Charles Stanley kind of way for you to remember. We'll send the notes. Four things. We're exalting the Savior together. We're equipping the saints together. We're expelling the Satan and his kingdom together. And we're evangelizing the sinner. That's what we do. And we do it together. We glorify, we edify, we go forth and we destroy the enemy, and we go forth and win the lost together. We've got to do it together. As the church goes, so goes the nations, so goes the cities, and so goes our neighborhoods. There's a lot at stake, everybody, in this room with how we relate with one another. There's a lot at stake. Jesus prays it in John 17, make them one, let them be one. May they be one that the world may, as we are one, Father, let them be one through the generations so that the world would know that you've sent me. I mean, the testimony of the gospel is really banking on you and I and our interactions and lives together. So I appreciate that we pray alone and that we read our Bibles alone, but listen, everything's supposed to lead us to this togetherness, this glorious togetherness to agree and to manifest the life of Jesus. We've got story after story of where cities, countries were all transformed because of the church. Because listen, as the church goes, so goes our neighborhood. So goes the cities. I was talking in Wichita. We had a good group over there this morning, and I was just saying, the only reason Broadway, if you know Wichita, Broadway's a pretty dark area of drugs and prostitution and stuff. The only reason Broadway is Broadway is because the church has not filled that area yet. That's the deal. The city commission can come up with a plan of how we're going to beautify it and how we're going to try to get law here, but they don't have the power to prevail against the gates of hell. They don't have it. They don't have the power to bind and to loose and to break people from the addiction to sexuality and the addiction to drugs. We've got it. We're the only ones on the planet that have it. And so the only reason that neighborhoods and cities, you know, parts of cities stay undeveloped, if you will, or in darkness with crime, with all kinds of things, is because we're not filling it yet. You read revivals, the Welsh revival, bars shut down, houses of prostitution shut down in the 1800s when hundreds of thousands of people were saved and the church came alive. It happened here in the 1850s with a revival that swept from New York across America. It was so strong, a prayer revival, that a newspaper in Kentucky, I think Louisville, proclaimed the millennium has started. They thought it was so, I mean, because crime had come to a halt. Alcoholism was going down. Prostitution was stopping because the church was manifesting in life and power. You and I are the only hope. We're the salt and light. The only reason that we've not had nation imploding anarchy on the planet since we've been here is because of the church. The church has carried the presence of God. The church has prayed in all her messiness. She has done what has been needed to be done to get us to this point, and we have barely scratched the surface. So, we want to help the church go. We want to help the church be and the church to go. This is not church. As we said over and over, this is the gathering of the church. We're equipping you. We're singing. We're giving report globally and around the cities. But you're the church. And everybody's saying that, by the way, now. Even mega churches, everybody's using this language now. It's common as common can be. Because the Holy Spirit is trying to make it clear that a church is not a meeting, it's not an organization, it's not any of that. It's you and I together. It's glorious. So we go together. We go out on mission together. So I live at First in Emporia by some of these people. Could you people come forward? Amy's not here because we got sick kids. I told you last week we were going to begin to gather together as the church in a quadrant of the city of El Dorado to be the church. Not just have a small group. We're just going to meet together. We did that. We did that Wednesday night. It was all right, wasn't it? Was it all right? It was pretty fun, actually. We got together. A lot of these people didn't even know each other. They'd seen each other, but they didn't really know each other. Within an hour, because the anointing of the Holy Spirit within them, they're speaking to one another, giving words to one another. I think Brandy counseled Amy and I about our lives. It was awesome. It was a great thing. And we just were together, and we began to pray for our neighborhood, and we have no clue what we're doing, except we love Jesus. We're a bunch of weak people who are led by the Spirit, and we want to be on mission for Him. So we're seeing the church plant over in the Emporia area, or that area of the city. And we wanted Tim to please send us out because this is a serious thing. We want to send churches out, and we're going on mission. We love when people go to Chad, Saudi Arabia, but every now and then somebody's got to go to Emporia Street, you know what I mean? And we got to go where we go. So we all go on mission together, and we value the church's prayer about this.
Okay, so here are some brothers and sisters that have banded together, and just want to give you guys a charge that Jesus said in the last days, which started in the days of the apostles. Mm-hmm. So you're definitely in the last days, that the love of most will grow cold because of the increase of wickedness. And so that's what we've got on our hands. And then so Jesus then says to you, his disciples, as I have loved you, so you must also love one another. Mm. By this, all men down in this neighborhood will know that you're his disciples if you, what?
Love one another.
So the charge is for to love one another. If you're like me, you're a bit messed up. And that's okay, because love will cover over a multitude of sins that you potentially do against one another, or offenses or secret things. Don't keep secrets from one another. Don't harbor offense. Forgive one another from the heart. Go to one another, confess to one another. So love one another. And then in John 17, Jesus again tells his disciples, he asked in his prayer to the Father that we may be one as he and the Father are one. And he says, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. Your unity, which is born out of your love for one another, and namely for Jesus, your unity is testimony to a world that constantly wants to divide, constantly wants to have broken relationship, constantly wants to individualize. So love one another, agree with one another, certainly pray with one another, but as you love one another and get to know one another, and your gifts come out, and you understand how to use your gifts under the direction of the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, people will come to know Amen. The Savior and Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Could we really treasure, as Melinda said, we take all the prayer we can get, but would you all please stand? Could any elders, wives, anybody that feels led, come down really quick while Tim prays? We're going to do this really quick, but could we all stand in commission and just pray for us as we go out? We're going to go out in our yard, you know what I mean? We're not going out very far, not catching a plane, but we're going out. Because I'm fairly sure there's people that are addicted to drugs in my neighborhood, that there's abuse going on with some children. I'm fairly convinced there's some dark things happening. And who is equipped for such a thing but the Lord Jesus and his body? Amen.
Father, now we come in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we don't have a complex strategy, Lord. Our strategy, Lord, is to know you and obey you, to love one another, Lord, to be one with one another. We pray that as these brothers and sisters love one another, Lord, and agree with one another and seek you together, Lord, that we know, Lord, your spirit, Lord, will touch their neighbors, and we ask you for their souls. We ask you in the name of Jesus for transformation in families. Lord, in this neighborhood, we know that you're going to do this, Lord. We believe it. I pray that you would bind them together in your love, Lord. Thank you that they love you, Jesus, each of them. Lord, now, Lord, teach them in a new way, Lord, to love one another. Lord, and thank you, Lord, that you command your blessing, Lord, where there is unity. Lord, your blessing, your anointing, your grace, your power, Lord, we pray will manifest among them and among their neighbors. Lord, We pray for healing of families, Lord, in this area, in the name of Jesus. Amen.